I'm gonna talk about 10 minutes. I need a timekeeper. A timekeeper. Nah, I need somebody close, somebody I could in front of me. I'm gonna speak 10 minutes on Elijah. I'm gonna speak 20 minutes on Jesus. But I have 10 minutes I'm going to speak to the Church of the Burning Fire. And I'm just going to go through these real quick. Some things that the Lord have instructed me to say to you. And so I'll take 10 minutes to do that, and then 5 minutes at the end just to tell you how to apply some of these things we've been talking about. First of all, there's so many things in this church that merits commendation, because it's evident that somebody in here is hearing from God. It's evident. And that's not always evident, but it is evident that somebody here is tracking with the Holy Spirit. Somebody is understanding the times and is seeking God as what the church should do. So here are five things real quick. This is just specifically for you, for this church. Now, God wants to abide in this house, in his house, not move about as we have been taught to believe in charismatic circles. The Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness filled the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved. Now, in other words, the earth was out of order. And that disorder, that chaos, was unacceptable to God. And so the Spirit of God moves. The Spirit of God, we always talk about the moving of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of God moves when things are out of order. When things are in order, he abides. Out of order means that this person is not where they're supposed to be, so the Holy Ghost got to grab them, run them over here, set them down, grab him, run him. And when we got saved, we liked that stuff. But when the more our lives get into order, the less of that stuff is supposed to take place in the church. I remember 7 years into our ministry, this lady said to me, "You know, Pastor, when you first came here, you used to be casting out demons, you used to be doing so and so, we used to have to move all the chairs." And I said, "If I've been teaching you for 7 years and I still got to cast demons out of you, but the Holy Spirit wants to inhabit or worship. And that comes about as a result of order. He wants to be seated. That means that when you walk in the place, he's there. Second thing, miracles are intended for the marketplace, not the place of worship. Say that to you again. Miracles are intended for the marketplace, not the place of worship. Of all the major miracles that Jesus shared that is recorded in the scripture, only one time did he work a miracle in the church, in the temple or in the synagogue. And that was because a demon-possessed guy came in to interrupt Jesus while he was teaching in the synagogue. And Jesus was like, well, I prefer to deal with you all outside, but since you bold enough to come in here and interrupt, well, so when we come into the house of God, God will do some things, but the gifts of the Spirit and what we're talking of, the power of God, is intended for the marketplace, is where you work. And the people that you work with, when they are transformed by the gifts of the Spirit, are brought to this house so they can be instructed by the man of God. Because spiritual gifts is no indication of spiritual maturity. It is the fivefold gifts in the body that brings about spiritual maturity. The baptism of the Holy Spirit brings about spiritual gifts. Thirdly, when God speaks to his appointed leader, he is speaking to his people, and they need clarity, not instruction. I want you to understand this very carefully. When, for example, Moses got instructions by God in the battle, and he sent Joshua down in the plains, and Moses went up on the hill, Aaron and Hur went up with Moses. And Moses' hands got weary. There's nowhere it said that Moses said, Aaron, you and Hur get a stone and set behind me, and then you all grab my hands, one on the left and one on the right. There's no place that's written. Moses did what he was instructed, and everybody around understood that whatever I had to do to facilitate what the man of God has been instructed, I don't have to be told. You know, we go like, well, he's not speaking to me. If he's spoken to the man of God, he has spoken to you.
That's right. All right, now.
Now, when this does not happen, two things happen that should not happen. The first is, people try to control the leader's obedience by their actions. That is, and I've had this happen to me on times. I've done my very best to be full-time in the ministry. And that comes with tremendous sacrifices. Because every time I did it, people said, well, things must be good. Things must be good. He's living like that. He don't have to work. Well, things must be good. So I don't have to stop. But if the Lord spoke to me that I want you fully in the house, it means that there's something coming against the people that he needs me in the house to be able to deal with. So then, in order to keep me from being obedient, Sister Frieda, they decide, well, I ain't going to pay my tithes, because if things are good, I'm struggling, and he can ride around all day. What are you doing up there at the church all day? The second thing that happens, and I said this is for the church of the burning fire. But understand, I'm not saying this is going on. I'm just telling you what happened. This is from experience. The second thing that happens that should not happen is the leader then gets bitter at the people for doing what God has told him to do. So now, I'm like, God says to Moses, the people are mad, and Moses gets the instruction from God, and now he's mad at the people. So he takes the sword, and he slams it against the rock. Must we get water out of this rock for you bunch of drink, you rebels? Right? And then, of course, you knew what happened. You've been in church long enough to... the man of God is so crass. He just needs to learn how to deal with people better. Right? Because his bitterness, he lost focus. God had told him... But the anger at the people. Why? Because they weren't understanding that what God says to me, he said to you. And until God says something to me, I don't have nothing. But when you are provoking for something, because we want something to happen. So I have got to make the adjustment. And leaders that are assigned to the man of God has to constantly be saying, okay, where is he moving? Where do I need to be? So what is happening is there is constantly, you are shifting. You don't have to hear from God because you are linked. If you know that you are left flank and he turns, you got to turn because you are. Well, I ain't heard that. And so what happens is that we become stubborn in order to manipulate to the man of God. Now, you can't, the streams of anointing, say this with me, the streams of anointing flows in the direction of authority. Say it again. The streams of anointing flows in the direction of authority. The anointing doesn't flow from the bottom up. Now, this is for the pastor. Y'all could close your ear. And the key leaders. You know where this applies. Pastor Morris, Satan's only answer to the call of the deep is fear. Whenever God starts to set you apart and calls you into the deep, the devil said, remember Jim Jones. Because you know all them people that went off on the deep end. The deep is stigmatized. The deep end. That's where I want to be, in the deep end. I don't go to a swimming pool and say, okay, where's the shallow? We get upset, you know, the deep end. And so Satan's only weapon is that fear. I had to deal with that. I've been dealing with that for a long time. So I don't want to go beyond everybody else because I don't want to go off on some hocus pocus. Now, the answer to that fear is multiplied counsel. Just as a tree needs to go deep in its root to spread its branches, the converse or the inverse is true when you begin to, the wider the branches, the deeper the root. I have got to have multiplied counsel so that I can go deep, so that I don't have to be afraid of the deep end. because I've got relationships around me. Now, I'm saying this to the pastor because I could have said that to him privately. But I'm saying it in the presence of the leader so that you know that when a man of God starts to go deep, he needs people that he can trust. That he can call up. It can't just be Brother Paul or Brother Bernal or brother. He's got to have key leaders that keeps me balanced. That's going to pray with me. And that's going to be honest enough to say, you know, I've been thinking and meditating on what you have said. And the Lord has showed me thus and so, thus and so. So you just go, man of God. Because Satan will keep him afraid. And if he's afraid of the deep, he can't lead you into the deep. Because deep call it unto? Is that 10 minutes? I think the timekeepers went to sleep. All right. Second 10 minutes. Elijah. God says to Elijah, let's go back, because Elijah starts this and he says to the king, he didn't say this in church. This is in the marketplace. He said to the king, it's not going to rain until I say. I'm talking about the marketplace. When I first got married, I worked at McPete Chevrolet selling cars. And I became their star salesperson just like that. And then I and my sales manager, who was African-American, they brought in this white guy. I don't know where he came from. He was fired from somewhere, and then they made him manager. And everybody else said, well, you can't say nothing, but I just came from Trinidad. You know, I'm just fresh off the boat. I don't know the rules. And I said, in an office, I said, this is not right. We have to do something about that. Well, the guy is outside listening. He goes and told the other higher ups. They called me in the office and said, we don't do that here. And so you're fired. And I said, this place will never do any business when I walk out of here. You are done. Go see if you find McPete Chevrolet. Three months later, they were closed. They are still closed. Elijah said, at my word, it's not going to rain. And so God says, I want you to go to the brook called Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Now, the birds, remember Jesus said, operates on that system that God has. They toil not, neither do they spin. And God says, I want you to come out now because you have just cursed the system, and I am going to have to hook you up into heaven's system.
Come on, preacher. Yes, sir.
And the Bible says they brought him meat and bread in the morning and in the evening until the brook dried up. And God said to Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. Now, this is in Sidon. It's a Gentile town. This is a Gentile woman. In fact, Jesus would say to his town folk in Nazareth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, yet none of them were chosen, but this Gentile woman from Zarephath. Now, she is living in the system of dependency. But God commanded her. He said, I've commanded this widow to sustain you. Now, she is like us. She's gotten a command from God, but she has other plans. God commanded her to sustain the man of God, but she is planning to cook her last meal and die. Listen to me. We would rather die in the mess we're in than to obey God. God says, I've commanded her. This is why you need the man of God. And she's probably thinking, what kind of stuff is this? She's a Gentile. You know what we do? It got to be the devil. So the man of God comes and she's gathering sticks. She is supposed to be cooking, waiting on him. The table is supposed to be set because his mealtime is established morning and evening. You know God didn't take him off his schedule eating time just because it's a one. Now Elijah is thinking, if I'm getting bread and meat on the regular from the ravens, when I go to this sister's house, I am going to be hooked up. Come on, preacher. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have some turkey wings. I'm gonna have some turkey wings. Some good turkey, tender to the bone. Make you want to crack that bone open. Oh, wait, I'm talking about a different. Sorry, y'all. He knows that he is going to be hooked up, brothers. And she's out gathering stick, planning to die. Lord help us. And he comes to her and he says, he realized that if she's out gathering sticks, she is not ready to go where we got to go. So he says, go fetch me some water. She thought, I could do that. Sometimes God's got to get us moving. And when she turned to go get the water, and he says, while you're doing that, bring me a meal. Fix me a loaf of bread. And bring it with the water. Some of us can't make that adjustment. Pastor, you told me to do so and so. And I was planning to do so and so. Now all of a sudden, I bring that. Now you want so. Why didn't you tell me you need a loaf of bread? Because I had to get you moving. You weren't ready to hear. We're ready to hear what God really wants. He's a man of God. No, I can't do that. I got one meal left. I'm planning to cook it, share it with my son, and lay down and die. That system that's at work in the world. God is only allowing it to continue because he hadn't said so by his servants. It's over. And the reason we can't call that kind of judgment is because we are surrounded by strictly greedy preachers. And we will not call the glory of God and the judgment into our nation because we don't want to sacrifice like that. He says, woman, go make me a cake. Make me that loaf of bread first. But thus saith the word of the Lord. The flour is not going to stop. The oil is not going to stop until God sends rain. And when is God going to send rain? When I say so. It's so foolish. People are so foolish. If you're talking to the man who stopped rain, the man who got you saved, the man who got you filled with the Holy Ghost, the man who got you through, is giving you a new instruction and you bucking like a horse. Stupid. And the Bible says, now she's planning to feed her son and die. Now the Bible says, the man of God, her and her family. Word got out that she's got bread that cannot be finished. And let me explain to you, everybody became family. When she just had one meal, it was just her and her son. All of a sudden, she got a big family. You know, it's like when you win the lottery. I am your cousin on your mama's side. It wasn't just her. If you had an ounce of blood related to this woman, if it's 50 times removed, you are over there at the house. And the meal kept coming for the man of God. Then her son took sick. This is what gets us. You're eating good, you got saved, you're following the word, you come off that system and you bad. And all of a sudden, out of left field, I told you, every time there's a supernatural occurrence, conflict follows. Too many people were now eating. Satan said, we can't have that. He takes sick and he dies. He says to the man of God, you just came here to remind me of my sin. He didn't deny it. Because that's what we do as men of God. Get used to it. I'm leaving the church because he's talking about me. That's what we do. That's what we are called to do. Talk about you. Well, I didn't mind if he had whispered it softly. No. The Holy Ghost is the one who whispers it softly. He'd already... let's put it in the bar. He been told you. The Holy Ghost has already been speaking to you and telling you to get rid of it. By the time you get here, beloved, that's what he does. But if you will humble yourself, the man of God have the anointing. He said, give me that boy. Now that you realize that you are a sinner, now that you are willing to confess it. All that time, she never confessed her sin. Come
Come on, preacher.
Listen to me, listen to me. You can be in relationship with people. You can have them, you could, Apostle said, network. You could be networking with people, you know, win-win. We got this mutual thing going on. Sooner or later, we got to deal with your sin. The goodness of the Lord will lead to repentance. But if you are being that good and you would not repent, God's going to have to pull his hand back. Because sooner or later, we got to deal with your sin. That's what's wrong now. We want to have church and never deal with the sin. Don't shout me down. He says, now that you realize that I'm here to deal with your sin, give me that boy. She could have kept her sin in the closet. Her son would be dead. He stretches himself out on that boy. And his life, the Bible says, he heard, God heard the voice of Elijah. God had no intentions of bringing that boy back. That's why he died in the first place. But God heard the voice of Elijah. Listen to me, listen to me. Now, my 10 minutes is short. Most of us, when the bread starts flowing, we kick out the man of God. And when our son falls down dead, he's no longer in the house. Matter of fact, when the bread starts flowing and everybody becomes your family, folks start telling you, you know, I've been inviting you over to our church for so long. Why don't you come over there? I want you to observe something, folks. Whenever people leave a church that they are not led by God to do it, there's only one issue at stake, and that's authority. It's not being fed. It's not being... Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't y'all shout, y'all. Don't take my time. Don't take my time. The man of God, give me some strict instruction. Y'all, listen to me. You always know that by where people go. They always go where there is no authority. They go where folks don't mind. They go where they can hide. It's always about submission. Now, the reason the Lord wants you under authority is so that you can have authority. The reason Satan don't want you under authority is so that you have no authority. Come on, preacher. So he stretched forth himself and raised the boy back. Guess what, folks? I am not even talking about Elijah. The Bible says, I'm talking about Jesus. The Bible says that no man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son has revealed him unto us. Jesus has revealed the Father. Jesus knows the nature of the Father. He was the one that was going to reveal Father to us. What that means is that we had to be able to recognize Jesus. How do we know when he starts to speak that he actually is the one that sent from God? God had to set some stuff in place so that I can recognized Jesus. I used to think, Pastor Morris, that this verse meant that Jesus had spiritual, supernatural, ecclesiastical, existential knowledge of the Father. But if Jesus, who does, by the way, and we are told that there's one thing he doesn't even know. But if Jesus had given us that knowledge, how would we know if it was from the Father? So Jesus had to do things and give us stuff that we could recognize as being from the Father. Thank you. I bless the hands that put that water there. And the system that arranged it. Jesus knew that he could raise the dead because Elijah raised that boy. Because after Elijah raised that boy, the woman says, now I know that you are a man of God and your word is from the Lord. Jesus did what he did based on what the Father had done in the Old Testament. When Jesus said to the wind, peace be still, he knew that God had spoken to the wind and back it up as the water on both sides. And Israel crossed through. And then God spoke to the water and it came back together. And so when that wind and that water started acting up with Jesus in the boat, he knew from the Father that he had authority. He said, peace. Peace. Be still. Jesus knew when that 5,000 men plus women and children were following him and got hungry, that he could multiply bread because God, the Father, had done it. Here's what Jesus said. The Father works and I work. I only do what I see my Father do. Everything that Jesus did, God the Father had done it through somebody in the Old Testament. Yes. So when they came to Jesus and say, we have no bread, Jesus said, feed them. Well, what are we going to do? When Satan said to Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Jesus knew that man shall not live by bread alone. Right. Not only was it written, but he remembered by the word. Elijah said, by the my word, the flour is not going to stop. The oil is not going to stop until God sends rain. And I'm the one who's going to decide that. And so Jesus, remembering Elijah, knew what the Father did. Now Jesus knows things about the Father that he could have done, but we needed to recognize. He was going to say some things that reveals the Father, that if he didn't act like the Father, I could not receive it. So he broke the bread. He blessed it. And he remembered that it wasn't just the woman and her son, but her whole family. Yeah. And the more family showed up, is the more flour and the more oil, and the more flour, and the more oil, and the more family, and the more flour, and the more oil, and the more
Come on, preacher.
So when Lazarus fell and died, Jesus knew that his father did that. Raised the dead. And he says to Father, I know that you heard me and you hear me always, but because of these, you don't understand. That's why Jesus said, I go to my Father so that the Holy Spirit will come. The difference between Jesus and us, the Bible says, the Father does not give the Holy Spirit by measure unto him. Now the Holy Spirit have been given to us by measure. To some, tongues and interpretation of tongues. The Holy Spirit gives severally as he will. He doesn't give all. He doesn't give any man all. Jesus is the only one who had all the gifts of the Spirit. But through the Old Testament and in the New Testament, somebody got a gift of the Holy Spirit or gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus just happened to have the full measure. But Jesus says, greater works than these will you do. Why? Because Jesus followed what Father did in the Old Testament. That's how he did what he did. That's why he never violated the Old Testament. That's why he never violated the authority structure that was over him. Paul puts it this way. Follow me. As I follow, Jesus said, I follow the Father. Paul said, I follow Jesus, who is following the Father. Everything that Paul did, he did it because Jesus did it. Everything that Jesus did it, he did it because the Father did it. It isn't that Jesus didn't know what the Father did. Jesus was now on the earth. He knew what the Father did in heaven. What he needed to do while he was on earth is do what the Father did on earth. And what the Father did on earth was written in the scriptures for our benefit. And so Jesus could follow what Father did on earth because Father left a record of it. And Jesus says, you are going to be able to do greater than these because I'm leaving you a record of what I did. If you recognize that there are systems at work that have things the way they are, you could come in and you could just simply accept. Or you can bring the supernatural authority of God that's in your life to bear. You know why we don't do it? It's because we have been taught that the Holy Ghost is going to move in church. Listen to me. The apostles believe that because Jesus says, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power. They got the power and they still tarried. And the Bible says God brought persecution and scattered them. I may have shared this with you before. I share it with you again. They understood, the early church understood, that God did not do miracles in church. They weren't expecting it. And Peter was put in prison. The Bible says prayer was made of the church for him. Now Jesus had said to Peter, I know that Satan have desired that you, that he might sift you as wheat. My brother pastor, we'd have been praying for deliverance. Jesus never said, you ain't going to be sifted as we. Jesus never said any of that. Jesus, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Beloved, if you're going to walk with God, you are going to be sifted sometimes. You're going to be in trouble sometimes. You're going to be afflicted sometimes and persecuted sometimes. What he is saying is that you are going to walk in the supernatural, Peter, and that is going to bring on conflict. And so when Peter got in prison, they weren't praying for Peter to get out. People say, well, you know, the church was praying, but they didn't really believe God. And so when Peter was showed up, she was surprised. And what, you know why? They weren't praying for Peter to get out. It never crossed their minds to pray for Peter to get out. Every time you see the disciples and the apostles in prison, they are praising, worshiping, never praying to get out. They are rejoicing that they are worthy.
Yes, Lord.
I can't believe out of everybody, you got me locked up for your name's sake. Man, I'm a pray. I'm so... We be like... Pastor Morris, call my mama, call my papa, call everybody. So when Peter showed up, Bunel, she wasn't expecting it. They weren't even praying for that. Everything that Jesus have done, just like he followed the Father, you can do it. But we have been told that the Spirit of God is going to move in church. There's only one person who works in the church, and that's the man of God. So that brings with it that Pastor Morris is going to do tricks for us when we come in here. Sorry, all done, all out of tricks. There are very few times that I'm seeking God as to what to do in a service that God said, well, you know, I want you to do 5 miracles. He always like, I want you to say that. But in the marketplace, that's where situations come up. And we're like, oh, I'm going to call my pastor and ask him to pray for you. What kind of mess is that?
Come on.
Never forget it. I was a youngster. I've been on my own since 14. Homeless, working my way through school. I was a painter. I was painting. We were painting this building that was right next to a winery. Everybody on the job was swapping wine for paint. I'm trying to live holy. I'm singing on the job, worshiping. You know, they call you a preacher. And so I'm out on the scaffolding outside the building. There are no windows. They have these machines. They don't do it a lot around here. It's a flooring that's called terrazzo. And they had to grind those stones, and it was a tough process. Machine broke down. Guy was trying to start it, and I don't know what got into me. There's a guy on the job that was a backslidden Christian. He gave me the hardest time. Backslidden, I'm fresh. And he's like, oh yeah, you just getting started. It ain't gonna last. You find out. You find out. And I'm just on fire. And I don't know what happened to me. Somehow I'm trying not to be visible. You know how you try not to do that, because the pressure is high on you already. You try not to be noticed. And before I knew it, I said, do you want me to start that machine right now in the name of Jesus? I'm four stories high. Behind me is a wine factory. And I looked around. Seemed like nobody was there. The guy didn't even hear me. I was like, good. Of course, you know, the backslidden Christian heard me. He came out of nowhere and he says, yeah. Y'all, stop working. Junior is about to get this machine started in the name of Jesus. All right, Richard. The devil told me, he says, you know, if this machine don't start, we hear about everybody else. But guess what? If Jesus can do it,
yes, Lord. Yeah.
I spread my legs. And I'm saying, if I can't pray, then what's the point? If you are not real, I need to know. Yeah. Sometimes your faith has to come to a place,
yes, sir,
of crisis.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I brace myself. And I put my hand, you know, when you're young, I thought you had to do the physical thing. I pointed my hand like that. Through that window. And I said, machine, I command you to start in the name of Jesus. The guy want to know why. It's got this pull string thing. He's just standing up there. His hand is limp. He's got the thing in his hand. And when I said, machine, he looked back. And by the time I got to Jesus, he forgot his hand is on the stuff. He's like, what you? I look at that backslide. I said, I told you. My time's up. I thank you for yours.